الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were reading the chapter with regards to the warning and the great dangers of speaking about Allah without knowledge and making the interpretation of the Quran or claiming that something is halal or haram, is halal or haram without any knowledge or evidence or any light or guidance from the book and from the sunnah. And in our class before that, we had discussed the warning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the people who have deviation in their hearts, and that they try to use the evidences of the Quran and the sunnah to establish their falsehood, and they are known, and so is their way. And so is their way, and that is that they will go to the verses or the text that carry more than one meaning, and they'll try to establish their opinions and their desires in that manner without referring these issues back to the texts that are clear. We have seen in the previous classes that in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla there are texts that are clear and directed the meaning, and then there are other texts that are not directed the meaning, rather they carry more than one meaning. So the people with deviation in their heart, they will turn away from those clear texts that are direct in the meaning and understanding, and they will turn away from the fundamentals and principles that are derived from those texts, and they will go to the other texts that carry more than one meaning, trying to establish their corrupt creed and belief and their false ideologies that are contrary to those principles in this manner. So we have seen that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had referred to this issue, and he said fahdharuhum, that you must beware of them. So this is a warning, and taking knowledge from the people of deviation and listening to the people of falsehood, those who go to the ayat and mutashabihat, to the verses and to the text that carry more than one meaning, and attempt to interpret these verses, rather to misinterpret these verses in contradiction to the clear verses, in contradiction to the established fundamental principles. And we are warned from them and from their way, and from the quickest means to become confused and misled and to be uncertain in one's religion is to take knowledge from any source without having any reins or any restrictions or any guide in or any guidance or any light with regards to learning and seeking knowledge. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly forbade us from this and fear. And likewise, the topic continues in the chapters that come. The next three chapters, they're similar in their understanding, and they're proceeding from this issue of following the unclear verses and to speak about Allah without knowledge and to attempt to use the clear truth and proofs of the Quran and Sunnah to establish false whims and desires and corrupt ideologies that are contrary. So we're warned from this affair. We're warned from this affair and the dangerous outcome of this affair. So these people, they have methodology. They have a methodology that they're known by. From that is that they debate and they argue and they quarrel in their religion. And this is the chapter that the author is mentioning now. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, babun ma ja'a في الجدال في القرآن باب ما جاء في الجدال في القرآن. The chapter on what has come on debating with the Quran, on that which has come on debating with the Quran. يعني باب ما جاء في الجدال في القرآن يعني من الوعيد الشديد, من الوعيد الشديد, from the severe threat with regards to this, meaning that this is a dangerous affair and it's prohibited and forbidden. And those who delve into that, they're threatened with a great punishment, with a great painful and humiliating punishment. So there's a warning with regards to this, debating and quarreling with the book of Allah. And what is intended? Debating and quarreling to establish the falsehood, and like that which has preceded, using those verses and those texts that carry more than one meaning, and not returning those texts back to the clear verses and the solid fundamentals that are established and agreed upon, rather seeking to misinterpret these verses and to change the meanings and to establish falsehood and to make it appear as if there are contradictions in the legislation and in the revelation by interpreting these verses contrary to the fundamentals and the evidences that are clear and direct in the meaning. So this type of debating and arguing and quarreling is forbidden. And likewise, to debate about the Quran or with the Quran and in the with the evidences of the legislation in general in order to cause doubts in the hearts of the people. All of this is falsehood, and all of this is foul, to cause doubts in the hearts of the people with regards to the authenticity of the Quran or with regards to the authenticity of the Sunnah and the books of Hadith, for example. Many people of falsehood and deviation today, they are trying to cause doubts with regards to Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and the books of Hadith and the likes like this. And this type of debating in the religion, no doubt, is blameworthy. And only those who do that are zanadiqa, waliyadu billah, the people who are heretics and hypocrites, seeking to cause corruption and deviation in the ranks of the believers and to mislead them. And likewise, to debate and to argue and to quarrel about the meanings. And this is a chapter that's coming as well, debating and quarreling about the meanings and seeking to interpret them according to one's desires without having evidence or proof or fundamental knowledge and principles to work with. This goes back to speaking about Allah without knowledge. And many times, those who speak about Allah without knowledge, they do that while they're quarreling. They do that while they're quarreling, while they're arguing, while they're debating. So these affairs, they are related. And likewise, to quarrel and to debate about the recitation and the mode of recitation in a manner that's blameworthy. So al-jidal is blameworthy in general. Al-jidal wal-khusumat wal-mira. Al-mira wal-khusumat wal-jidal fi-din in general is something that is blameworthy. It's something that is blameworthy and it's not allowed. But there are aspects of al-jidal that could be praiseworthy if it's performed in the proper manner, in the legislative way, in the proper manner, and in the legislative way, and at the hands of those who are qualified, So no doubt, with regards to those people of falsehood, the people of knowledge, they must stand up and refute them and clarify their falsehood in defense of the religion, in protection of the Muslims and their creed and their belief, and in protection and preservation of the Muslims and their creed and their belief and methodology. But this is not something that the people of knowledge themselves, they advance upon, or that they prefer, or they look forward to doing. Rather, they will only stand up to refute the people of falsehood whenever it's needed, and to debate them in the proper arena, and not in public, and not in front of the layman and the likes like this, because this many times leads to more doubts and misconceptions, and the layman may not understand the evidence of proof, or even possibly sometimes maybe the person of falsehood, he's very eloquent, and he establishes his proofs in a beautiful, eloquent manner, and the people who do not have knowledge, they may be deceived or believe that he's upon the truth and the likes like this. So the people of falsehood, they will be dealt with at the hands of the people of knowledge whenever that is required, from those who are qualified and those who are capable, and not everyone who memorizes the Quran or memorizes some narrations or some principles in the religion is capable of clarifying falsehood and establishing the truth and refuting the people of misguidance. This is another level with regards to knowledge. This is another level with regards to knowledge, to have a well-rounded understanding of the truth, in detail, and likewise of falsehood in detail. To understand the aspects of falsehood and how the people of falsehood, they use the true and clear authentic evidences to establish their falsehood, and how to refute that, and how to clarify that, and likewise how to protect their intention from changing and arguing on defense of their own soul and in order to win the debate and the argument. So many times a person, he may be sincere in the beginning of the debate, but if he's not careful, shaitan will redirect his attention and he will debate on behalf of his own self. And many times, likewise, this will lead a person to speaking about Allah without knowledge or rejecting some of the truth that he knows is clear in order not to appear as losing the debate and the argument, So this is a great type of jihad whenever it's established properly. Ar-radd 'ala al-mukhalifin. To refute and to clarify the falsehood of those people who are in opposition to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this one will be praiseworthy in the right of that person who is qualified in that manner that has proceeded. As for the other type of debating and quarreling and arguing in the religion, then this is something that is blameworthy and we're warned from. And this is the point the author he is making here. He says, Qala Abu al-Ariya, rahimahullah, Abu al-Ariya al-Riyahi, he died in the year 93 from the best of the tabi'een. and from the scholars of tafsir specifically likewise, and the scholars of hadith rahimahullah. He says, ayatani ma ashaddahuma ala man yujadiru fil Qur'an. Ayatani ma ashaddahuma ala man yujadiru fil Qur'an. That there are two verses, how severe are they upon the one who debates about the Qur'an? And he debates about the Qur'an or debates with the Qur'an, and in the manner that has preceded. And we have seen as well in the previous class the dangers of the one who is the munafiq. Al-munafiq yujadilu bil-Qur'an. Al-munafiq yujadilu bil-Qur'an. Someone who is a hypocrite. He has a corrupt intention. He has a corrupt and a foul intention. And he debates with the book of Allah and with the sciences of the religion. And many times they'll be versed in these affairs. And even some of them, they're pure hypocrites, like the mustashrikun. Those people who are considered in these days Middle Eastern specialists, and they're disbelievers, and they're kafara from America and from Europe and from France and from Germany and these other countries and the likes like this, who learn the Arabic language, and also they learn the sciences of hadith, and then they learn the sciences of the religion in order to find problematic errors, to work corruption from within, and they have a hand in translating the narrations and translating the Quran, and they have great effort in some of the Islamic sciences, but with foul and lowly intentions, not to aid the religion about Islam, but rather to seek fault and to cause doubts So to beware from this lowly way and methodology, and from those people likewise, So we have seen all throughout this work a number of lowly traits that have been mentioned, and some of them are in reality traits of disbelievers. And we're warned from this affair because a believer, he should fear disbelief, and he should fear paganism and polytheism, and that his tawheed will be stripped from him, And likewise, he should fear having a resemblance, because a Muslim, if he's not careful, his religion can become tainted. It can become mixed with sin and transgression and disbelief, until he has a faith that is tainted, a faith that is mixed with creed and belief that is correct and good, and likewise with falsehood and evil that is foul and lowly. And at this time, his shahada will become light in his right. So there's a warning with regards to this. So from the characteristics and traits of the lowly and the misguided, and from the attributes of the deviant, is that they debate with the Quran, and they argue and quarrel in the affairs of their religion. So if we see people like this, we'll be cautious from them, and we do not argue and quarrel with them. Sometimes the best answer for the likes of these people is silence. You silence them with silence, and you show no care or concern for them, and you don't answer their questions. You don't entertain their doubts and their misconceptions. And many people, they have nothing better to do except to argue and to quarrel. And their hearts are full of doubts, and their minds are full of confusion. And misery loves company. So a person of the sunnah, he's a person of haqq. He's a person of truth. He's a person of yaqeen. He's a person of certainty, even if he's not a scholar or a great student of knowledge. By learning the fundamentals of the religion, a believer, a Muslim in general, from the layman, he will be upon clarity. He will be upon certainty. He will be upon the straight path firmly, even if he's not a great scholar or a student of knowledge. Alhamdulillah. So to avoid the people of falsehood and their methodology and their ways. Because if not a person, he will be affected by them. Evidences of this issue will come bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So he mentioned the verses. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى مَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Abu al-Ariya, he said there's two verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that are very severe. And harsh upon the one who debates about the Quran and in the manner that has preceded. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah the Most High, مَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And none disputes in the ayat of Allah, meaning the proofs and evidences, the verses and the lessons, the signs, this revelation, etc. This revelation and the likes. No one disputes in the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla except for those who disbelieve. So this is from the traits of the disbelievers. that they will dispute and they will argue and they will quarrel with regards to the book of Allah, with regards to the revelation. And this is how the previous nations, they went astray and they deviated, the Jews and the Christians and the likes. And he said, likewise, وَقَوْلُهُ وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ لَفِي شِقَاقٍ بَعِيدٍ. And the statement of Allah the Most High, and verily those who dispute as regards the book are far away in opposition. And those who dispute about the book, meaning about the revelation, disputing in that blameworthy manner that has proceeded, then they are in far opposition. Then they are in far opposition, meaning they are far away from the straight path. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he mentioned about this portion here, he says, rahimahullah, أي وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ فَآمَنُوا بِبَعْضِهِ وَكَفَرُوا بِبَعْضِهِ. And he listened to their traits and their characteristics. And this was the way of the Jews, as I mentioned before. And likewise, this is the way of those from this ummah, those who ascribe to this ummah, yet they follow the mutashabihat in their previous classes that we had discussed. He says, any of these people here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْكِتَابِ, those who differ and dispute about the book, فَآمَنُوا بِبَعْضِهِ وَكَفَرُوا بِبَعْضِهِ, meaning they believe in some of it and they disbelieve in other parts. They believe in some parts of the book and disbelieve in other parts. And this is because they will misinterpret the verses. So this would lead them to disbelieve in those clear verses and that which they indicate to establish their falsehood. So now they're believing in part of the verse and part of the revelation and disbelieving in part. And believing in part of it and rejecting another part by not referring and understanding these verses and these texts all in the same light. Now one will work with one of them and deny the other, or contradict or oppose the other. And this is the way of the people of falsehood and the way of those who are far astray in opposition. Who are far astray in opposition. وَالَّذِينَ حَرَّفُوهُ وَصَرَفُوهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْوَائِهِمْ وَمُرَادَاتِهِمْ. These are the people who misinterpret the verses and they change and redirect the meanings to follow their desires and their intentions. To follow their desires and their intentions. The author, he says now, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال جدان في القرآن كفر. That وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, and it's been narrated from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, جدان في القرآن كفر, that debating, opinion based arguing and quarreling, debating about the Quran is disbelief. Is disbelief. رواه أحمد وابو داود وإسناده جيد. وإسناده جيد. Any to debate about the authenticity of the Quran, no doubt, this is disbelief. And likewise to debate in these manners that have proceeded by trying to establish falsehood and not understanding the Quran in the light of those principles and those clear, authentic texts, then this is a type of kufr, وليعذ بالله, and a type of misguidance. And likewise, this leads and is a pathway to deviation, any to disbelief. Any the worst of all deviation is to disbelief. Is to disbelieve. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Some more evidences the author he will mention in the chapters to come have a clarification of this affair. Have a clarification of this affair. And we will take them in due time بإذن الله تعالى. So he says, وَفِي حَدِيثِ عَمَرِ بْنِ شُعَيْبَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ جَدِّهِ أَنَّهُ قَالَ. And in the narration of Amr ibn Shu'ayb, on the authority of his father from his grandfather, Amr ibn Shu'ayb, his father is Shu'ayb ibn Abdullah, and his grandfather, and the father, grandfather of Amr is Abdullah ibn Amr. So this is a nuskha, this is a chain, and in this portion here that's well known, and it's considered hasan. Yani Amr ibn Shu'ayb an abihi an jaddihi, which is a chain of narration that goes back to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma. So he said, سَمِعَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ سَمِعَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَوْمًا يَتَدَارَؤُونَ فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِهَذَا ضَرَبُوا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ بَعْضَهُ بِبَعْضٍ وَإِنَّمَا نَزَلَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ يُصَدِّقُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا فَلَا تُكَذِّبُوا بَعْضَهُ بَعْضًا فَلَا تُكَذِّبُوا بَعْضَهُ بِبَعْضٍ فَمَا عَلِمْتُمْ مِنْهُ فَقُولُوا وَمَا جَهِلْتُمْ فَكِلُوهُ إِلَى عَادِمِهِ. The author, he mentioned the narration, which is from Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard some people disputing and disagreeing about the Quran. And some from his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disputing and disagreeing about the Quran. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it was only on this account that those before you perished. It was only on this account, any the fact that they were arguing and disputing and quarreling about the issues of their revelation, the meanings of the verses, and likewise the recitation, so on and so forth, is because it is only because of this that those nations before you perished, meaning they were destroyed and misled and misguided. They set parts of the Book of Allah against others. And if they set parts of the Book of Allah against others, after that which has preceded, we should know what this means. What does that mean? That they would try to make the unclear verses appear to contradict with the clear verses. Instead of referring them all back to the clear verses, they would try to misinterpret those unclear verses to carry the meaning that's contrary to the meaning of the clear verses, to make it appear as if there's contradiction. يَضْرِبُ بَعْضَهُ بِبَعْضٍ. And he used this verse to say this, and this verse says this. And if a person did not have these fundamentals and foundations on how to understand these texts, then it would appear to him that there's contradiction. But in reality, there's perfect harmony and no contradiction. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us from, and this is what happened to those previous nations. And we know that those previous nations now are considered ضالون ومغضوبون عليهم. They're misguided, and they have the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those previous nations, the Christians, they are those who are misguided. And the Jews, they are those who have earned the anger and the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. So those from this ummah that imitate them or resemble them, they will share in a portion of that misguidance accordingly. And likewise, the anger and the wrath of Allah. So this is the reason for the warning, to take precaution from the anger and the wrath of Allah, and from misguidance in this life and the hereafter. And from misguidance in this life, which leads to failure, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ in the fire in the hereafter. He says, وَإِنَّمَا نَزَّلَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ يُصَدِّقُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. That the Qur'an, the Book of Allah, was only sent down to be consistent. One portion testifies to the truthfulness of another. This is the way of the authentic text, that one portion will clarify and testify to the authenticity and the correctness and the beauty of the other. And likewise, the Qur'an in general came in this manner as well, testifying to the authenticity, testifying to the correctness and the authenticity of those previous revelations that were revealed to those previous prophets, like Musa and Isa, alayhimu salatu wassalam. So do not use parts of the Qur'an, of the Book of Allah, to falsify others. فَلَتُكَذِّبُ بَعْضَهُ بِبَعْضٍ. You do not use one verse or one aspect of the revelation to falsify the other. Speak about as much of it as you know. Whenever you have certain knowledge of the affairs and the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you speak about that and the limits of that knowledge and whatever. But what you are ignorant of, then entrust it to the one who knows. And no doubt it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows. So a person, he will say, Allahu a'lam la adri, if he does not know. Or if he's uncertain, he will say, Allah knows best. And then likewise, Allah azza wa jal, he has directed the people that whenever they do not know the ruling or the proper position or action to take in certain circumstances and situations, that one, he must, as an obligation, return back to the people who do know and are qualified and specialized in that particular issue, and to get guidance from them. And Allah, he says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of dhikr, the people of knowledge, if you do not know. And this is from those verses likewise that clarify the encompassment of the legislation. And some of the Jews had come trying to thwart one of the believers, and he mentioned saying that you claim that the Book of Allah, the book that's revealed to you, the Quran, is an exposition and clarification of all things. And he asked him, then he said, yes, that's right. And then the man, he said to him, well, how is the flour turned into bread? How is the flour and the barley turned into bread? And the man, he said, yes, I know the answer. The answer is in the Book of Allah. And he said, come with me. And he took him to the baker. And he asked the baker, how do you turn the flour and the barley and wheat into bread? And he told him, he said, here, this is your answer. He said, but this is not in the Book of Allah. He said, yes, it is. It's in the statement, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people if you do not know. So if you do not know how to make bread, and you need to know how to make bread, you go to the bakers and you ask them. And this is from the direction and the guidance in the book of Allah. From the direction and the guidance of the book of Allah. So this is the point here that this is clarification. Any that this is clarification that we do not debate. The point here is that we do not debate. Any of this issue here was referring to that which has preceded and how the religion has encompassed all aspects of the human being from the time of the revelation until the day of resurrection. Alhamdulillah, the law of Allah, and the deen of Allah, and the book of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is complete and perfect and sufficient in clarifying the details and the rulings of all aspects of life for the human being. Alhamdulillah. It has been narrated by Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu that he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُودًا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُوتُوا جَدَلًا إِلَّا أُوتُوا جَدَلًا, that a people have never gone astray after being upon guidance except they fell into arguing. Except they fell into arguing. And this is a very important narration. This is a very important narration. مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ هُودًا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُوتُوا جَدَلًا, that a people have never gone astray and deviated after being upon right guidance, except that they fell into quarreling and debating. ثُمَّ تَلَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he recited this verse, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ Hasimun. They quoted not the above example except for argument. They quoted not the above example except for argument. Nay, but they are quarrelsome people. And meaning that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed the verse, وَلَمَّا ضُرِبَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ مَثَلًا وَلَمَّا ضُرِبَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ مَثَلًا إِذَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْهُ يَسِدُّونَ, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck the example of the son of Maryam, then his people, meaning Quraysh, they started to mock and laugh at the Prophet. They started to mock and laugh at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this affair. وَقَالُوا أَعَرِهَتُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْ هُوْ أَعَرِهَتُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْ هُوْ مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلَ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ, they said, are our gods better or him? And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that those who worship others besides Allah, they and those things that they worship will be in the hellfire. So therefore, whenever this was revealed, the Quraysh, they began to laugh, and they began to laugh about the Prophet of Allah Isa, saying, "Well, if our gods are going to be in the hellfire, and then the Christians are worshiping Jesus, and he's going to be in the hellfire too. So who's better, our gods or Jesus?" And they're laughing like this. Who's better, our gods or Isa? So they only struck this example or this parable in this manner as argumentation, and they didn't believe in the first place. So the point is that a person, he's exposed to misguidance and deviation whenever he enters into the field of argumentation, whenever he enters into the arena of argumentation. And many people, they do not argue sincerely, and they're not looking to establish truth and benefit people by way of their arguments and their debates. Rather, many of them, they just want to overpower people with knowledge and appear to have authority or to be smart and witty and the likes like this. And this is also a reason for misguidance as well, and to be left to one's own desires and whims. It's been narrated from Al-Awza'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the Atba'i Tabi'in. He said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ شَرًّا أَلْزَمَهُمُ الْجَدَلْ وَمَنَعَهُمْ الْأَمَلْ, that if Allah had intended for a people evil, then he will cause them to be overcome with argumentation, and he will forbid them from action and implementation. He'll forbid them from action and implementation. You'll find this is the case many times. Those people who are highly involved in arguing and debating and the likes like this, they're not known from the people who are at the same time devout and worship and performing lots of righteous and good deeds and the likes like this. Rather, they spend all of their time arguing and debating and going back and forth and so on and so forth. And they're not spending their time in the night prayer or fasting in the daytime or seeking knowledge and memorizing the Quran and striving to worship Allah and perform the good deeds. Rather, this desire and this lust for arguing turns them away from that. If Allah intends evil for a people, he says, أَلْزَمَهُمُ الْجَدِلِ, then he will cause them to start arguing.
So this is a sign that Allah does not want good for a person, that he would engage himself in arguing and disputing. And this is from the lowly ways, and this is from the misguided ways, and this is from the ways of many people of our days, especially on the internet, going back and forth, 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 back and forth. Waliyadhu billah, waliyadhu billah. And it's been narrated likewise from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he said, man ja'ala dinahu gharadan lilkhusumat akthara atanaq. Whoever exposes his religion to quarreling and disputes and argumentation, then he's always going to be changing. He's going to be changing a lot. You'll find that people who argue and debate, one day he's with this group, and then the next day he's with that group, and the next day he's with this group, and one day he has this opinion, and the next day he has that opinion, and the next day he has that opinion. He's not firm because he's not a person of truth. He's not learning to become grounded and firm in the religion to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, he's following his desires, and he himself, he has doubts many times, and that's why he will debate and argue with this person. And then whenever he is overcome, then he will change his mind, and then he will debate and argue with this person, and then that will affect him likewise, and then he'll change his mind, and then he'll argue and debate with this person, and the likes like this. All of this is blameworthy. All of this is blameworthy, not allowed. All of this is blameworthy and not allowed. And the author, he continues to mention these affairs in the next chapter, some examples on how maybe it would occur. بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي الْاخْتِلَافِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي لَوْذِهِ وَمَعْنَاهُ. The chapter on what has come about differing about the Qur'an in its wording and meaning. In its wording and meaning. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealed as guidance and light. It was revealed and sent down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as guidance and light and the means of direction and goodness, mercy and justice, and a means of unity in bringing harmony to the hearts and uniting the people upon the straight path. So if it's not understood in the proper light, or if it's misused and misinterpreted, then the whole goal and the aim and the wisdom from the revelation and the legislation and law will be violated. And instead of being in harmony, instead of having love, instead of being a means of mercy, it'll be a means of separation and dissension, and a means of problems and fitting and trials. A means of problem and fitting and trials. So this is very blameworthy. This is very blameworthy to use a book that was revealed as mercy and guidance and light and a means of unity and unification and goodness and strength and the religion and deen to cause separation and division and trials and tribulation. To cause separation and division and trials and tribulations. And this is what the people of innovation, they do. And for this reason, some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned about the command of the Prophet or the prohibition of the Prophet. About the prohibition of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. And do not have enmity and hatred for one another. They mentioned that, they mentioned a subtle benefit, that this is a warning here from innovation. Because whenever people introduce innovations now, there's going to be enmity and hatred in the ranks. Innovations, they separate, and they cause problems. And they cause dissension, and they cause enmity and hatred. As for the sunnah, and as for that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's mercy, and it's justice, and it's light, and it's goodness, and it brings the hearts together when it's understood and implemented properly. So innovations and deviations and speaking about the deen of Allah with that knowledge brings hatred and rancor and dissension in the ranks of the believers. Brings hatred and rancor and dissension in the ranks of the believers. And it causes the hearts to turn away from each other. And this is what comes from that. This is what comes from innovation. People, they turn their backs on each other. And this is incumbent for the people of truth to turn away from the people of innovation and to be safe from them. But this is the point here. So maybe the people, they'll debate about the Quran in this manner with the shabby hand, or to establish their falsehood, or to establish their deviation, or to establish their false ideologies and likes like this. And many times what they do is they have a creed and an understanding or an ideology in their mind, or a desire or a whim that they want to follow, and then they'll look into the text of the Quran and the Sunnah and try to use those evidence and misuse them to support the falsehood that they want to follow, to support the whims that they want to establish. For example, we've mentioned a number of times in this gathering from the extreme Sufia, those who they claim that dancing is lawful. And dancing is good, and that means to draw near to Allah. And they dance around in the house of Allah. And they have this creed and they have this belief. So they'll take this creed and belief, and then they'll go to the verses of the Quran, and they'll look for something in the book of Allah that will support their deviation and their misunderstanding, and support their desires and whims, so that can appear as if they're using the book of Allah to establish the falsehood that they're upon for a proof of that which they claim. Like the statement of Allah, الَّذِينَ وَالَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. And those who remember Allah, قِيَامًا, while they're standing, وَقُعُودًا, while they're sitting, while they're lying on their sides. This is the verse that they have used. This is a verse that they have used for the permissibility or for the legislation of dancing. Those who remember Allah when they're standing, when they're sitting, when they're on their side. They say you're supposed to stand and sit and go on your side, up and down until you're moving back and forth like this. And this is dancing. So this is from the proofs of the legislation of dancing that Allah has clarified in His book. كَذَّبُونَ وَاللَّهِ كَذَّبُونَ وَاللَّهِ كَذَّبُونَ. This is falsehood. This is evil. This is a lowly way. This is falsehood. This is evil. This is low. This is lowly. This is a lowly way. قَبَّحَهُمْ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْذِ بِاللَّهِ. That the book of Allah will be treated in this manner, disrespected in this lowly way, to establish this foul understanding. This foul understanding. As if Abu Bakr is dancing around in the masjid, radiallahu anhu. وَلِيَعْذِ بِاللَّهِ, like that. Or Umar or any of them. Or even before that, وَلِيَعْذِ حَشَّ, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's the deen of Allah. Wallahi, they're liars. Wallahi, they're liars. So this is from their way. This is from the disputes and the debating that they do. And this goes back to what? Al-qawlu ala Allahi bila ilm. To speak about Allah without knowledge. That great footstep. That great step that shaitan he has to mislead the people. To mislead the people. To speak about Allah without knowledge. And likewise, from the methodologies of doing that is going back to the issue of al-muhkamat wal-mutashabihat. Al-muhkamat wal-mutashabihat. This is manhaj. This is manhaj. This is methodology. This is the way of a believer in his life. This is how he understands these affairs. And this is how he deals with them. And this is how he moves. This is how he moves through life upon a clear path. Upon a clear path. The night is like the day. And it's so clear that at nighttime you see straight and directly just like you do in the daytime. No one deviates except he goes astray. And he will fail and he will perish. And he will have great grief and misery. So to hold fast to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the methodology of those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And the methodology of those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. At the head of them, the Sahaba, and then the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een, and those who follow them, bi ihsan. And those who follow them, bi ihsan. So also debating comes about the Quran also in the words, in the recitation, in the mode of recitation, and in the tajweed, and the likes like this, and in the different qira'at, so on and so forth. There's many aspects of how the devil can mislead the people and redirect them and corrupt them if they're not cautious and having proper, sound, solid knowledge with regards to the book of Allah. And if these people are engaged in the Quran, yet they're misguided and they're astray. These people are engaged in reciting the Quran and reading the Quran and studying the Quran, yet they're going astray, yet they're deviating, like the Khawarij at the head of them, waliyadhu billah. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَرِفِينَ وَإِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكُ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ الْآيَةِ. And in the first portion of this ayah is not mentioned any here in the text, but the ayah, it reads, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Had your Lord willed, then He would have made mankind all one nation. Had your Lord willed, then He could have made mankind all one nation, made them all Muslims. If Allah willed, He could have made all of them Muslims. All of mankind, they could have been upon Tawheed and upon Sunnah. And if Allah willed, He could have made all of the Muslims upright upon guidance and free from misguidance and deviation. And could have granted all of them light and directed all of them to the straight path and to firmness in the religion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tried the people. He says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَرِفِينَ. But they will not cease to disagree. They will not cease to disagree. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. Except for the one whom your Lord has bestowed His mercy upon them. وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. And for this reason, Allah has created them. And for this reason, Allah has created them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created this creation with great knowledge and wisdom. With great ultimate knowledge and supreme wisdom. And from the wisdom of the creation is to try mankind. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with this creation, He has created the Jannah and He has created a Nar. And He has created people for the Jannah and He has created people for the Nar. And He has created the deeds that the people will do that will lead them to the Jannah. And the deeds that the people will do that will lead them to the Nar. And this life is a test. And Allah, He knows who is going to take those means and those actions and do those deeds and who will die upon them until He enters the Jannah. And Allah, He knows likewise who will take that path and proceed with those means until He dies upon the deeds of the people of the hellfire. As for us, then we do not know. So all we can do is strive against our souls to work with the guidance that has been revealed to us, and hope for the mercy and the favor and the cover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the mercy and the favor and for the mercy and the favor of Allah, and for him to cover our faults and our sins, and to work in one's faith. So a person, he does not know. وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. The people that, if Allah wanted, he could have made all of them on the straight path. But they're not all on the straight path. Some are on the straight path and some are not on the straight path. If Allah would, he could have made all firm on the straight path. But all of the Muslims not firm on the straight path. Some of them, they're firm on the straight path, and others, they're مُذَبْذَبِينَ. They're مُذَبْذَبِينَ. يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. He worships Allah in good times, and in bad times he falls off. In bad times, in trials and tribulations and loss of wealth or loved ones, he turns his heels on the obedience of Allah. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. But if Allah will, he could have made them all straight and upright. But Allah, he created us in this manner as a trial and a test, to honor those whom he wants to honor, and to disgrace those whom he wants to disgrace, and to resurrect mankind, and to know that his authority is supreme, so that he may be known, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his power and his wisdom may be known to mankind, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he will honor the people of Jannah with admittance into paradise and great mercy and kindness, and to disgrace the people of the hellfire. This is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is from the amazing affair of this life. Alladhi khalaqal mawta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala wa ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala ahsanu amala. So this is the issue here. So the point is to realize now that it's mercy. Illa ma rahima rabbuk. Ma yazaluna mukhtarifin. They do not cease to differ. They do not cease to differ, to be misguided, to differ in their affairs of their deen and of their religion and of their thoughts and their ideologies. Illa ma rahima rabbuk. Except for the one whom your Lord shows mercy to. Meaning they're not differing. Meaning they're all united. They're all together. They're all in harmony. They all love each other for the sake of Allah. They're all upon the same creed, the same belief, the same methodology, whether they're white, whether they're black, whether they're old, whether they're young, whether they're in America, whether they're in Saudi, whether they're in Somalia, whether in Indonesia, wherever they are. Wherever they are, they're all united, and that which unites them is creed, aqidah tawheed. And that which unites them is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And more clearly, the true means of unification upon this is the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. The understanding of the salaf of this ummah. Those who are sincere and truthful in this here, they will not be divided. They will not be divided. Even if they differ in affairs that are allowed for them to differ in, this differing will not cause them to be divided. This differing will not cause them to be divided. Just as the companions, they differed about certain issues, but they did not divide. But they did not divide, radiallahu anhum. So the point is to clarify that differing is separation and segregation is punishment. It's punishment and misguidance. And as for unity and being in harmony and having unification, then this is mercy and goodness and blessing. وَقَوْلُهُ كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَحِدَةً فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. And his statement, subhana, mankind were one community, and Allah sent prophets and glad tidings, prophets with glad tidings and warnings. And he giving glad tidings to those who believe and work righteous deeds and strive to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, and as warnings for those who turn away in disbelief or in rebellious disobedience. The verse continues, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وانزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس فيما اختلفوا فيه وما اختلف فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم فهدى الله الذين آمنوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. And Allah, he mentioned the meaning of which is, and mankind, they were one community united, and Allah sent prophets with glad tidings and warnings, and had revealed along with them the book in truth, so that it may judge between mankind and that which they differ in. So therefore, the judge amongst mankind and that which they differ in is the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is the revelation and legislation, and the final law and legislation is that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So any time there's a difference or of opinion or dispute, then the means to solve that is to return back to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the understanding of those first three generations. In this manner, the problems they go away. In this manner, the differing, bi-ithnillahi, it will go away for those who are sincere. As for those who have deviation in their heart, then even if they claim, or then they will claim and they will claim, but the dissension will not go away and the problems, they will not cease, whether they will continue regardless of what they say. So long as these ill feelings remain in the heart and these foul and lowly intentions remain in the heart, then these claims of holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah will not benefit. So from those who make that claim, yet they continue to differ and to dispute and to have problems, this is a sign of a foul intention. Because had they been sincere, then this no doubt is the true means and the clear way to rectify all disputes. So if a person, he claims to follow this way, yet he still finds himself in disputes, then something is wrong. Then there's a problem with regards to the intention, not with regards to the methodology. Not with regards to the methodology. Barakallahu fikum. Allah, He says, فَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ بَعْدَمَا جَاءَتُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. And no one disputed about this, except for those who were given. No one disputed amongst themselves or differed, except those who were given the book after that which had come to them from clarification as بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ, as transgressing the limits and the rights, jealousy and enmity and hatred for one another. So this is the way of the previous nations, the Jews specifically, that they were given the guidance and the light had come to them and they had the book in their hand and the guidance of Musa had reached them, alayhi salatu wassalam, and they knew the haq and they knew the truth, yet they misused that and they abused that and they transgressed the limits against each other. They transgressed the limits against each other in jealousy and enmity and hoping for position and status and rank in the society. So this is what will happen. This is what will happen. This is a warning from the Safir. This is a warning from this affair. But then Allah, He mentions likewise, clarifying, فَهَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْمِ. As for those who believe in it, and if they believe in it correctly, strong and sincere faith, and they follow it properly in their life, then Allah guides them to that which they differed in. Then Allah, He guides them to that which they differ in from the truth by His permission. وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And Allah, He guides whom He wills to the straight path. And Allah, He guides whom He wills to the straight path. So the wisdom of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the people, they will differ with regards to the straight path. From them, there are those who will follow deviation and they'll follow their desires and they'll go away from the straight path and they'll fall into doubts and misconceptions and misunderstandings in the religion and they'll follow into deviations, following their lusts and desires that are impermissible. And Allah has also decreed from His ultimate wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that others from mankind, He will show them favor, and He will show them great mercy, and He will guide their hearts to be upright and firm upon the straight path, and they'll know the truth and the beneficial knowledge and the good way that is pleasing to Allah, and Allah will grant them success from His favor and blessing to follow that way. And for this reason, Allah has created us. And for this reason, Allah has created us, so that we may be tried, so that we may be tried. The author says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ أَنِ ابْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَجُلًا يَقْرَأُ آيَةً سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقْرَأُ خِلَافَهَا فَأَخَذْتُ بِيَدِهِ فَانْطَلَقْتُ بِهِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَذَكَرْتُ ذَلِكَ لَهُ فَعَرَفْتُ فِي وَجْهِهِ الْكِرَاهَةَ فَقَالَ كِلَاكُمَا مُحْسِنٌ فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا فَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ اخْتَلَفُوا فَهَلَكُوا. And in the authentic collections from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard a man reciting a verse, but I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting it differently. So I caught hold of the man by his hand, and I took him to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then I mentioned that to him, and I saw the dislike in his face sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, both of you are doing good. Kilakuma muhsin. Both of you are doing good. Yani al-ihsan. Both of you are performing the action properly. And he reciting in the manner that is correct and in the way that it was revealed. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not differ, for the nations before you differed and they perished. Now this is with regards to differing in the mode of recitation. And the Quran was revealed in different modes of recitation. And in the beginning it was a mercy and ease for the ummah and for the people and for the Arabs specifically in their different lahajat. And there are certain words in the Arabic language that that are synonyms, mutaradifa. They have the same meaning, like akbil and ta'ala and halumma. These words here, there are three words, all of them that have the same meaning. Come, come here. Say akbil means come here. Ta'ala, come here. Halumma, come here. So each tribe, the tribes are different in their dialect. The tribes are different in their dialect. And some of them are accustomed to saying akbil. And another tribe is accustomed to saying ta'ala. And another tribe is accustomed to saying halumma. So the Quran was initially revealed in these different modes of recitation as a mercy, so that it's easy for these different tribes to benefit from the recitation and to memorize and to follow. And to memorize and to follow. And this was apparent in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught some of his companions this one mode of recitation and another mode. And another mode. Even in it's a narration from Umar radiallahu anhu that he heard a person reciting Surah Al-Furqan, and contrary to the way that he learned it himself from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said he went and grabbed him by his thobe and drug him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said he's reciting Surah Al-Furqan different than the way you taught me. He said recite it. Let him go. Recite it. He recited. He said that's right. He said you recite it. He recited. He said that's right. And then he mentioned the issue of how the Quran was revealed out of sab'ati ahruf. So this is something that is known. So this issue and initially some of the people like here, they're disputing about this affair, and this is blameworthy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade that until even in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, he indicated that this issue could become a major problem if it's not taken care of and dealt with, because as the empire is spreading and the non-Arabs are entering into the religion and the likes, now this one is reciting this way and that one that way, and they're starting to have disputes, and they're starting to have sex. And this one, he thinks he's better, or that one, he thinks he's better, or this one considers this one wrong, so on and so forth. So the companions, radiallahu anhum, they all agreed that all of the masahif, they will be gathered, and it will be collected, and all of them, the Quran will be collected in one mushaf according to the lugha or the lahja of Quraysh, and the rest of the masahif, they will be burnt, and the ummah will be united upon this one to avoid this disputing and this debating, which leads to dissension and separation and hatred and animosity, which leads to the weakness of the ummah. So this is in reference to these affairs. The author, he says, وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا أَنِ ابْنِ عَمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنُّهُ قَالْ حَجَّرْتُ إِلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَسَمِعَ أَسْوَاتَ رَجُلَيْنِ اخْتَلَفَا فِي آيَةٍ فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُعْرَفُ فِي وَجْهِهِ الْغَضَبُ فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِاخْتِلَافِهِمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ. Also in the authentic collections from Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam early. Hajjartu yani bakkartu ila majlisihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went to him early, and I heard the voice of two men who had an argument with each other about a verse. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out to us, and the signs of anger could be seen on his face. He said, verily, the people before you were only ruined because of their disputation in the book, and because of disputes and arguing with regards to the book. And Nawawi, he mentioned, rahimahullah, al-maradu bihalaki man qablana huna halakuhum fi ddini bikufrihim wa ibtida'ihim. Fahadhara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min mithli fi'lihim. That what is intended by the fact that they were destroyed or ruined, or that they perished, those generations before us, is that they were ruined and destroyed in their religion, meaning they were misguided in their religion and because of disbelief and because of innovations. So this is what this disputing and this arguing and the religion leads to. It leads to disbelief, waliyadu billah, or it leads to innovation and deviation. It leads to misguidance and doubts. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has warned us from the likes of their deeds. He has warned us from the likes of their deeds. There's another narration in this chapter that is very similar to the one that has preceded. And the next chapter is related to this one. Inshallah, we can take that which remains from these two chapters in the morning after Fajr. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.